All right, kiddos, come on and join me up here. How's everybody today? All right, now I want you to put your thinking cap on today. I'm going to read you something, and I want you to think about what these words mean. I'm going to read you one of the Ten Commandments that's especially meaningful today. Listen to what it says. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. It says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God gives you. That's Father's Day today, right? Mm-hmm. Have you wished your dad a happy Father's Day?
Yeah.
Okay. A gift to, good. Well, you know, I'm a dad. Did you get me a gift?
No.
You didn't? Not yet? Okay. Well, you can get it later on this week. All right. Now, I want you to think about what does it mean to honor your father? What's that mean? Anybody know? Want to give it a shot? Yeah. Listen. Listen to, y'all write this down. Listen to your father. Malia? Don't be rude about it. And don't complain either. Obey your father. Oh, okay.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Buy new shoes.
Buy your dad new shoes.
Give him a t-shirt.
Okay, let me ask you this. What does it not mean? If you were going to do the opposite of what it says, honor your father, what would that look like, Jimmy?
Not giving him a gun.
Not giving him
a gun. That's a good thing.
Okay, Malia, you got something? Wait a second, Jackson. Come here, Jackson's got something. I want you to hear what Jackson had to say. What would it look like if you were not honoring your father? What would
you'd
that
be mean? Disobedient.
Disobedient to your dad. Now, let me ask y'all this question. By what y'all said, do you always honor your father?
No.
Okay. And sometimes you do. What does God want you to do?
Always.
You know, today one of the things you might go up to your dad and say is, Dad, I'm sorry for the times when I didn't honor you, but I'm going to do better with God's power in my life. Now, here's the promise that comes. This is the first commandment that Scripture says, Jesus said, with promise. It says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God gives you. The promise in that is that God will extend your life if you're honoring your father. What does it mean to honor God as your father? What does that mean? Anybody? Huh? It could mean a lot of money, you know, to honor God. But what does it mean to honor God as your father, Jimmy?
Respect him.
You know what?
Tell others about him.
You know, it means everything y'all said about your earthly father, we should do even more for our heavenly father. But Jimmy, that's a good word, respect. That's a real good word. In fact, you could put that word respect right in there. It would fit very well. Respect your father and your mother. Let me pray for us. Now, Lord, we love these children, and I pray for them today that they really would be pleasing to you and that they would honor their dad and their moms, that they would respect them and respect you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. How many of you had trouble getting up this morning? Come, let's be honest. Well, I'm praying that today the Lord is going to refresh your soul. Happy Father's Day.
You
too. To all you dads. On this Father's Day, I look around. You heard these responses from the children about what it means to honor your father, what that looks like. As the years have gone on in my life, and I look out in our society and the people that I see every day, I have discovered and I see many more father wounds today. You know, it's part of God's plan that we would honor father and mother, that there would be respect, that we'd get that part, right, because it's so basic to everything else. There are a lot of fatherless children in our society. Because in our society, what is something that has been happening? What has risen dramatically? Divorce rate, and then people who never get married. And generally what happens, statistically now, this isn't some backwoods preacher that's just shooting off the top of his head opinions, but statistically, you know, when you don't get married, there's not commitment there. And so there is, there's always this idea that it's not permanent. What do children need in their lives? They need steady. They need dependability. They need to know that when I push out here, there's someone who loves me enough that there's going to be a boundary there. Boundaries are godly. It's just like, you know, in the Old Testament, where we speak of that, that passage where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, a vision is like a plan, a track, a boundary, if you will, that guides us. Children need that. We all need that. We have adults now that have grown up in a society where they had it all mixed up about authority in their lives. And authority for them is always something that is negative and not positive. Some of you sitting here today have deep father wounds. There are places there where you were wounded by a parent. In this case, by a dad. But as I look out, I see many people who are experiencing the love and the affirmation of God the Father. And I see some guys here that are walking out their faith and blazing a trail, an example of fatherhood. That I want to say to you today, I applaud you. And I thank God for you. You stand in stark contrast to the mood of society, where it's always changeable. Well, I'm tired of this situation, so I'll go into this situation. Live long enough now that I've gotten to see the generations of that and the curse then that comes because of that. But I see so many of you guys, that I thank the Lord for you. There are three things that I thought of today when I think of the heart of a dad. What's at the heart of a father, of who God wants us to be as a dad. Now, listen, I'm not looking at perfect guys. You're not looking at a perfect guy. Foibles galore. Sin galore. But thank God for His grace and His mercy, who gets us beyond, who forgives us, who gives us a new life, and who gives us a second chance. He is the God of second chances, who brings His power and strength. There are three verses of Scripture I want you to look at with me today. The first one comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the love chapter, verse 4. Now, we can give the full description of the whole chapter, but I just wanted to read this one verse. Here Paul is describing love. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, and love is not arrogant. John, will you put that first picture up? See that man standing there? That's Marvin Floyd. He's standing there with his wife, Hilda, Miss Hallie, and his two daughters, Beverly and Gloria. It's my granddaddy. My dad calls him Daddy Gold. Daddy Gold. He said, son, they don't make him like him anymore. I disagree with you, Dad. I think God is making some more like him, because he's continuing to do His work. But when I think about this characteristic of a dad, a real dad, I think of love. And I think of this definition right here. It is patient, it is kind, it is not jealous, it's not rude, it's not arrogant. And think about this man. Patience just exuded him in his life. He married a woman, my grandmother, whose first husband had been killed in an automobile accident. My grandmother, she lived on a, grew up on a farm, kind of well-to-do, out from Sylvania, Georgia, in a place called Middle Ground. And she married a guy who had a huge farm across the river in South Carolina. She had two sons by him, and then he was killed in an automobile accident. And she was left to care for these two sons. My Uncle Bob, who at the time was okay physically, but my Uncle Durwood, who was the older of the two, who had cerebral palsy. My granddaddy came along, and he married her knowing what he was going to have to deal with. Two kids that were not his kids, but they became his kids. He chose them, not by birth, but he chose them. Well, my Uncle Bob would later get encephalitis at the age of 13. So they had two children with these illnesses that were debilitating and needed much care. They ended up having three other children, my mom and my aunt and my Uncle Bowie. And Aunt Gloria is the only one of those that's alive today. And she has leukemia right now and is taking treatment. My granddaddy showed us unconditional love, and there was kindness in it. I could see it. Let me give you an example of it. My grandmother had a she called it the front room. It was the living room where all her nice furniture was. We weren't supposed to go in there. Had hardwood floors. We liked to go and take our shoes off and slide, you know, run and slide in there. And just off of that room was the bedroom she slept in, and it had the Ark of the Covenant at the end of the bed, where she put all the nice gifts you gave her. That nothing ever came out of there. It all went in. You know, it was a big big hope chest. She would let my female cousin Pam and the girls look in it, but the boys never got to look in it. We didn't know what was in there. We never got to sleep in that bed either. But one day we were sliding on the floor, going back and forth, and my granddaddy, he raised his voice at us. Horrors. He had a pillowcase in his hand. And he came along, and me and my cousin Lou, who's also a preacher up in Virginia, and as my mother described it, as she was laughing about it later on, she said, that pillowcase just brushed the air by the backs of our legs, and he called that giving us a spanking. The kindness that exuded that man. It wasn't stuff he talked about, it's stuff he lived. Let me tell you, there's some of you guys sitting here, I see that same kind of kindness in your life. And I bless you today for it, because I know God is still doing stuff like that in people's lives. And it's real. People may not notice it. That doesn't get the headlines of anything, anywhere. But God notices it. And there's some people like me that also notice it. Second passage of Scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Hear this verse. This is in the middle of Paul's defense before Agrippa. Hear what he says. He was talking about his testimony. He says, "But Lord said to him, 'But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also the things in which I will appear to you.'" Give me my second picture there, John. The second word is the word purpose. I saw that in this man on the left. It's David Askins, who is former director of missions here in Sam, but the guy on the left is John Beam. Y'all have heard me talk about him before. Some of you knew him. Most of you, that's you wouldn't know him. He's my father in the ministry. He ran an inner city mission, pastored a church, and at a very young age, he began to pray for me and encourage me. And he saw in me what others couldn't see, because the Lord let him see it. There was purpose. And he saw the purpose for my life. You see, a dad, a true father figure in our lives, he is a leader who understands his purpose in life, who has come to see that and to be at home in his own skin and sees that in others. He would encourage me. He would pray for me. He let me do things. He hired me one summer just to come and work with him side by side. I worked for peanuts and thought it was a great... I thought I was on vacation the whole summer, because I was in the wheelhouse of doing what I love to do. And that was ministry and being with people. And it was joy. I know I worked 70 or 80 hours a week then, easy. But he was there. He could see that in me. Now, at the time, he was not a very famous man. At the time, people thought of all the hotshot preachers that were around Savannah, that were this and that. Let me tell you, no one can name any of their names today. They don't even know who they are. But I still hear his name all around Savannah. You know why? Because he was in contact with his purpose, and he was giving that away to others. He saw that in me very early. He saw it when I couldn't see it. He would what one of his favorite phrases was, by the way. And by the way was always followed by, he's going to ask you to do something. By the way, at Baptist Center, which is the church and ministry they had in the inner city there, our evening services started. We had a Sunday night service that started at 7:30. I wish I could tell you the number of times that he would come up to me and say, by the way, Dust, and it's 10 minutes after 7, said, I'd like for you to give the message tonight. So you know what I learned to be? Prepared. Instant, in season and out of season. But it was a joy because I was ready. He could see that. Let me tell you, I'm looking at some men in here that have come to understand their purpose in life. They haven't arrived. No. Let me tell you, John Beam hadn't arrived. He was still pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. He was still at that. Which, by the way, he died in the pulpit at Ardsley Park Baptist Church, preaching. He died in the middle of a sermon. But I look at some of you guys, see, you again, you're understanding what your purpose is in life, and you're pursuing that, and you're encouraging others. Let me tell you, it's never easy. It wasn't easy for him. Now, it's the third word I have, and it's the word acceptance. And this comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Give me the third picture, John. You know this rascal. Romans 8, 1 says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? I counsel people every week about a whole range of things. And one of the things that I counsel them about is feeling acceptance and getting over rejection in their lives. That's at the root of so many things. This idea of being, of feeling rejected. But I want you to know, where I grew up, I never spent one millisecond ever feeling rejected, not wanted, or pushed to the side. I felt acceptance. Paul said it very well. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What a gift you can give to the next generation is for them to see themselves as God sees them, to accept them through His grace and through His mercy. Now, was I always a well-behaved child? Answer. Dad told me one time, he said, if you're going to come in late like that, get a pair of shoes that don't squeak. Your mother can hear a rat walking three blocks away. I was headed out on a date one night. I had my hot, I like to think of it as a hot rod. I put spacers in the springs and jacked up the back of my 65 Chevrolet. Now, it had a hot engine. It had 327 four-barrel carburetor. Man, that thing would go. A lot of horsepower. My dad, I was about to leave on a date. I'd come in from work, and man, I had money in my pocket. I was ready to go. And he said, son, I need to have a talk with you. And we're standing there in the foyer, for you French people, foyer. And he grabbed me by the shirt right here, and he picked me up with one hand. And he said, son, I want you to listen to him. I'm thinking, he's got my undivided attention right now. I'm wondering, what have I done? He can't pick me up like that now. But he could back then. He said, son, he said, I want to tell you two things. He said, You can drink all you want. I said, oh, really? He said, but if I catch you, I'm going to hang you on that wall. And he's got me suspended in the air. I'm a believer. He's telling me the truth. He's not exaggerating anything. I know he'll do it. And let me tell you, up to that point in my life, my dad never done anything that would make me doubt that he wasn't going to do exactly what he told me he was going to do. He said, you can smoke all you want. And I'm thinking, well, what's coming now? You get hung on the wall if you're... He said, but if I catch you with it, you're going to eat it, fire and all. And then on the way out, he said, and you know your car, and he said, that car will go pretty fast. He said, all I've got to do, I can check that engine and determine whether or not you've been speeding. Now, he lied then. But you know what? He had me convinced. Just like I always believe my mother could see, had eyes in the back of her head and could see me. Made a believer out of me. But you know what? I didn't feel put down. I felt boundaries of love of somebody that cared enough about me. Because by that time, I'd already seen several of my friends killed in automobile accidents with alcohol. And people having all sorts of problems. But I saw acceptance and not rejection. I'm looking at some guys here today. And I watch you. Whether you know I'm watching you or not. And I see your relationships with other people that you have. And I want to encourage you in those times where you're trying to give that gift that Jesus has given you, that gift of acceptance. There's now, therefore, no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. You're sharing the gospel of Jesus with them. And like St. Francis of Assisi said, and when necessary, you're using words. I saw what Jesus did in my granddaddy's life, in John Beam's life, my father in the ministry, in my daddy's life. Because when I was 10 years old, when Dad received Christ into his life. On this Father's Day, in a culture that is headed toward not only demeaning the role of women, but demeaning the role of men, and in particular, fathers, and their place, and the need for them. You can see it in the little boys, you know, especially to me, in little boys that are crying out for that time with this, with a male role model. Let me tell you, if it's not filled in the primary place where God has designed and desired for it to be filled, they're going to go somewhere else to have it filled. And let me tell you, there are plenty of places out there waiting to fill that spot in our children's lives. And they need us. But today, I want to applaud you guys. I know you get beat up, kicked around. When someone needs to, you know, someone to stomp on, well, let's stomp on the men. It's their fault. People want to have it both ways. They want to say, well, it's all the men's fault. But then when a man starts to stand up and be who God's called him to be, no, we don't want you to do that. You can't have it both ways. What is God's design and desire? He's placed us as head of our household, as priest in our home. That is the divine order of things. I mean, you ladies, just what's her name says, you know, but remember that head don't move anywhere that neck doesn't go. Ladies, would all you men come forward at this time? All the guys in church right now. Come on up. Get close. Closer than you're comfortable.
Go for his wallet, boys.
Close. Close in here. Right in here, because we got to make rooms for some other people. Come on, guys. Now, you ladies, if you want to come and lay hands on these guys, let's surround them right now. Okay? Let me ask y'all, do you believe God can impart something to us? That he can give something? Well, right now, let's pray for his impartation right now. Now, Lord, as we have our hands laid upon these men, these guys that we love with all our hearts, Lord, I want to thank you, first of all, for the great redeeming work you have done in their lives. You have brought them from pity and the grave and made them new people. I thank you for that. Lord, right now, I'm asking you to bind the evil one, that the whispers of you don't count, you're nothing, you'll never be anything, that all of those lies, Lord, that we've come in agreement with, that today, Lord, you will cancel those out. As we proclaim the truth today, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, are we in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, I'm asking you right now to impart to these guys, to us, a renewal of our spirit. Lord, a spirit of boldness in our lives and confidence, Lord, in you. And Lord, we're committing ourselves today to pray for one another that this impartation would be complete. Lord, that we'll not look back and let the devil just play with our mind, but we'll look forward to all that you're going to do in our lives. Holy Spirit, come right now. Fill these guys afresh right now with your spirit. Come. Come and fill them up. Protect their hearts. Guard them, Lord, and use us in your plan in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, the prayer is not complete. The impartation isn't complete until I ask you this question. Do you receive this prayer?
Yes.
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 You receive it?
Yes.
Ladies, do you receive this plan today to pray for these guys?
Yes.
Amen. That's all I got to say.
We're through singing now.
We're through singing now. If you have a card or an offering to bring, put it in the basket, and we send you out in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, man.